and go back to June the 27th, which I believe was a Saturday for the first big BLM, some Black Lesbian Lives Matter, Antifa demand. They came out there. They had chains. They actually, at one point, actually got a chain up on the statue to try and pull it down. That statue ain't coming down with a couple of little soy boy Antifa loser weirdos. Tugging at a couple of ropes. That statue ain't coming down. It's not going to come down. But that was on June the 27th, and they had 250 to 300 of them out there. A couple of the guys that were in our group last night were beaten up on that day, but they were there last night. There was not. So from June the 27th to August the 25th, so in the span of 2 months, with daily devotion and prayer, they're defeated. Totally vanquished, totally let's call it what it is. It's an absolute rout, R-O-U-T. Antifa and BLM can be defeated anywhere if the people rise up against them, especially if you rise up in peaceful prayer against them. And in numbers, ultimately, they will stand down. Or in this instance, if you're not a Catholic, maybe you don't think this is the reason. All the 600 people that I met last night were giving credit to the intercession of St. King Louis IX and, of course, the intercession of our Blessed Lady. And that's why they did the rosaries every night. So we finally get to the statue. We did all three mysteries of the rosary. It's just, folks, I just can't describe the scene. I'd say in upwards of, let me split the crowd up. 150 to 200 Utes. When I say Ute, 25 down to teenagers. And maybe the youngest that I saw of that group, 10, 11 years old, I'm going to say probably another 30 or so children, 3 to 8 years old. You know, there was a little at the head of the procession, there were five little girls who had baskets filled with rose petals, of white and yellow rose petals. They were throwing the rose petals out as an honor to the queen, who was carried from that. Now, that's a 2.2 mile trek from St. Luke the Evangelist Church in St. Louis to the Art Hill. And they did do one shift change. So the guys that were carrying Our Lady, because it's a pole. You have north, south, east, and west, and then a platform. Then they put the statue on top of the platform. But you know what? We weren't the only ones that had a mishap with equipment, because they didn't duck the first set of trees, and the crown, Our Lady's blessed crown, was knocked off, and they couldn't put it back on because the piece that it was attached to broke in half. So, let me just describe the scene. So when you get up there and the rosary prayer rally starts, out of the 600 or so people that were there, I'm going to put the number at about 50-50 standing or kneeling. Kneeling on concrete. No kneelers, no pads. Knees on concrete. I'd put the number of the 300 kneeling, I'd put the number that about a third of that were the teenage young people who never flinched one time. You know, those girls that were standing next to you that were in the girls' scola, those five or six, they stayed on their knees the whole time. What a spectacle. And when I say spectacle, I mean that something for your eyes to behold that's beautiful. What a spectacle to see all those kids, heads bowed, eyes closed, and what have you, just praying there on their knees and just offering it up. Folks, evil was vanquished and defeated here. But no one is sanguine about it. No one thinks that the battle is over, or that the war has been won. This was, Robert even said it in our little celebratory scotch and not agave tequila. I can't think of the name of it. You know, one of the young men brought it. I have a picture of the bottle. I'll send it to Mrs. O'Connell.
Tito's?
What's that? No, that was Tito's vodka. So we had Scotch, Jameson's, and it was funny because we got back to the Cheshire Hotel, got back there at 6 or at like 8:50, and we were going to get something to eat there, burgers or something, and they closed. And they said, well, we close at 9. It's 8:50. Oh, yeah, well, we close the kitchen at 8:30 because of the Rona. So at the end of the day, the event was a tremendous success. Oh, one more thing about that. The local news, there was a news helicopter. There was a bear in the air, to quote C.J. McCall from the Convoy song. Yeah, the Roger there, Big Ben. We got us a convoy. There's a bear in the air. There was a bear in the air. It was not a police helicopter. It was a news helicopter, and it was there waiting for us, probably 500-600 feet above the square, and it hovered for the first 10 minutes that we were there. Did we find out what channel that was from? No, we still don't know. Some St. Louis television station got video from a helicopter of the sight of all those people processing into the square of St. King Louis IX. just an unbelievable event. And it just goes to show that this evil that is out there, this seemingly ascendant evil that also seemingly knows no bounds and is trying to burn Kenosha, Wisconsin down to the ground, has already burned significant portions of Portland and Seattle and Los Angeles down to the ground. And, as people, there are pictures. Maggie sent me three stories I have in today's pile. And it's a half paper, half digital pile of prep today. I have three stories that have all these videos in them of various scenes from Kenosha, Wisconsin, and others where these are all white kids. Maggie, where's the scene of the white kid screaming at the woman who's at the sidewalk cafe trying to have a beer? No, where's the location? She's just sitting there on a sidewalk cafe, and she has a mask on. Now, she's pulling the mask up to, sip her beer. I'm like, take the damn thing off. In any event, these wackos come out of nowhere. Do we have the audio of this, or you can't play the audio?
You cannot play that audio. It's so many bleeps you'd have to insert. It you couldn't do it.
Okay, so Rod Dreher has a story at the American Conservative Magazine website, mconmag.com. The McCloskeys, Hoda Bourgeois, Bernie Getzes. And there is, he starts it off with, the woke mob is harassing diners, attempting to compel them to affirm that Black Lives Matter. And this is a tweet from Azra Q, what's that? Okay, so that's in D.C. Here are more protesters on the streets of D.C. demanding a woman raise her fist against white supremacy. They're actually proud of the shaming and bullying. They promote it as a job well done. This is a gang, a gaggle of white kids. Now, instead of being in a rosary procession like the kids here in St. Louis were, they have surrounded this woman, or these two women are just trying to have a beer or a glass of wine or whatever at a sidewalk cafe, and are demanding that they stick their fist in the air and say Black Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter rules, and they're down with white supremacy, and they're white! Who is writing the script for this madness? And then Dreher said, "This is one incident, but it's symbolically important one." You know what? I think I want to do this because we have great digital media files here today. Can you cue up Nick Sandman? Now I want to take you people back to January of 2018. And actually, we should know the date because the pro-life rally is always on January 23rd, which is the day of Roe versus Wade. So the 23rd would have been on a Friday. Hunk a letter. 23rd, 24th, 25th. Okay, so on Monday the 26th would have been the first day that we had a chance to go on air on the Cruiser 8 channel and talk about Nick Sandman. and talking about Nathan Phillips getting up in his face on that Friday and banging that stupid drum, and the entire broadcast media accusing this 15-year-old kid of being a Nazi, white nationalist, white supremacist, Ku Klux Klan member, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, from the get-go, the Saturday of, when celebrities were taking to Twitter and saying that kid needs to have his face
face.
What's that?
He had a punchable face.
That's right. He had a punchable, right, a punchable face. And all of the other slanders and everything. Well, ultimately, the Sandman kid stands there. Now, what an irony this is, or what a great juxtaposition we can make here. So the Sandman kid from Covington High School in Covington, Kentucky. Not in Covington, Kentucky. It was in Indianapolis. Right?
No, it is Kentucky.
Was it Covington, Kentucky?
Kentucky?
Covington, Kentucky. So the Sandman kid stands there and takes the abuse. He just takes it. Smiles. And it wasn't a big poop-eating grin. Just kind of, you know, a little wry smile. As Nathan Phillips says, beating that stupid drum in his face, right? Almost identical circumstances happen here. During the early days of after June the 27th, in the daily rosary rallies with those same awesome young people that I was talking about earlier, those girls and those young men, they got on their knees and prayed that rosary every night at the statue and just trusted in God to take this evil away. The same thing happened here, I'm told. No, I didn't see it because I wasn't here. Did you ever see any of it?